A lot of things going on here at New Hope Christian Center. A lot of things that I'm excited about. But the number one thing that I am as excited about is this series of messages and where it came from, how it came about. I had my idea of what I was going to begin a series on and preach on. And God says, no, you need to back up the truck a little bit. You need to back up, go back to the basics. And so what we've been talking about, being same old, is are you growing spiritually? Because we are required by God's word to grow spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And so we talk about growing and what it means to grow and how do we grow. And we find a recipe in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. There are four action words in this little verse right here. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. Those are the four ingredients to spiritual growth. And we talked about humility. Humility is the main ingredient. Humility is the flour of the chocolate chip cookie recipe. It is the base. It is the very thing that you start with. And you cannot make chocolate chip cookies without flour. You can try. I'm not sure what you would come up with, but it ain't a cookie. You need a flour. To grow spiritually, we need to humble ourselves. We need humility. We need to put others above ourselves. Jesus often says, if you want to be first, you need to be last. You want to be first, you need to learn how to serve. And he modeled that as well. You cannot serve effectively without humility. Because when you serve, when you have a servant's heart, you are putting others above yourself. Jesus often was very tired, and it says that he would steal away to pray to his Father, and the crowds would come in, and he was so exhausted, but it says he had compassion on the multitudes. So he stopped his prayer time. He stopped his rest and relaxation time, the time that he had to spend with his Father. And he went and he put the needs and the wants of the other people above his own. He modeled it for us. And it says if we harbor pride in our hearts, God hates pride. If we harbor pride in our hearts, it says that God does not hear our prayers. So you can't skip over the humble yourself and go right to the pray part. Because if you don't have humility, God is not hearing your prayers. So humility is very important. Then it says we are to pray. The third part is to seek his face. Not just seek after him, not just seek knowledge, but to seek his face. It is a personal thing. It is a personal relationship when you seek someone's face. And so we started out talking about, how many of you have your Bibles here? How many of you don't have your Bibles here? Phones count. Phones do count. Unless you're playing Angry Birds or Candy Crush or something like that. But Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. And the Greek word knowledge is gnosis, and it means general intelligence or understanding. It says, my people are destroyed because they don't have a general intelligence or understanding of who I am or what my word says. So we are to gather information. We are to gather understanding. We are to gather knowledge about God and his ways. Now, there's two kinds of wisdom talked about in the Bible. There's worldly wisdom and there is godly wisdom. And that is part of the knowledge. Wisdom is actually receiving information and using it to decide how you are going to act. That is wisdom. It is looking at the information that you have, letting it seep into your heart, and then deciding what is the best way to go about the information that you have. Some people are very smart, but they're not very wise. They have a lot of head knowledge, but they don't know how to put that into action in their own lives. So there's two kinds of wisdom. Worldly wisdom says, in the history books, you see tons of nations. If you've read any of your history books, if you paid attention, if you stayed awake, since the dawn of time, there have been nations that have set out to conquer the earth or the known world. And the world says, you know what? Conquer. Conquer the earth. Godly wisdom says, the meek will inherit the earth. Worldly wisdom says, if you hate me, then I hate you. Godly wisdom says, you must forgive or you won't be forgiven by my Father. Worldly wisdom says, whatever it takes to climb the ladder of success, if you have to step on people to do it, go ahead and do it. Godly wisdom says, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. We need to be servants of all. If you have not read the Sermon on the Mount, it sounds utterly ridiculous if you look at it through worldly eyes. The meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn. It in the worldly sense, it makes absolutely no sense. But you know what? There's a difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. So Proverbs 23, verse 12. It says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. So if you break this up, you get your ears are taking in the knowledge, correct? They go through your ears or through your eyes into your brain. You are increasing your knowledge. Whether that information is good or bad, you have increased your knowledge, correct? But then it says, apply your heart to instruction. It means that the information that you take in, the godly wisdom, his word, needs to go from your head and make its way into your heart, where it will instruct you how to live your lives. See, there's a lot of Christians out there who are taking in the knowledge, they're taking in the information, and that's as far as it goes. Well, in my heart, I just don't believe that. Well, you know, I know that's what the Bible says, but that was written so long ago, it doesn't apply to my life right now and the decisions that I'm making. You've allowed the information, the knowledge, to seep into here, but you haven't connected it with your heart, where it says that we are to apply it to instruction. You know the words that we give you out of the scriptures? And if you come here to New Hope Christian Center, you will hear the word of God. No matter who is speaking up here, you will hear the word of God. And that every word that comes from his word can be used as instruction in our own lives. It is relevant. It is relevant to today. It's God's guideline. It's his handbook on how we are to live our lives. If you call yourself a believer, if you are a child of God, you are to live your lives according to the scriptures. They are to be applied to your heart through instruction and come out in your decisions. Does that make sense? So we're learning and we're seeking his face. One of the things that we do is we increase our knowledge of him, but we can't stop there. The title of the messages that I gave a year ago were to know him more. See, a lot of people want to know more of him. They're willing to read their Bible a little bit. They're willing to take in. They're willing to get little tidbits of God. They're willing to know a little more of him, but there's a difference between knowing more of him and knowing him more. That's when it moves into the seek my face. That's when it gets relational. That's when it gets personal. When the word of God goes from the mouth of a pastor or from God's word into your head, into your heart, where God can work it out and he can instruct us. So it's not a bad thing to want to know more of him, but you also need to use that to know him more. And that's what the seek his face is all about. Amen? All right, so there are certain ways that God allows us or tools that he gives us that we can know more of him and know him more. So let's go to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands." This is Jesus talking. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Jesus promised that he, when he left, that his Father would send an advocate, a helper, a counselor. And when we become believers, the very Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. And the Spirit of God wants to help you, wants to be an advocate. An advocate is someone in a court of law that is assigned to help someone out. Or a child, a foster child, is given an advocate who will speak on their behalf, who will guide them in what is to come, in how they should do things, the proceedings, and all of that. God gives us an advocate so that he can guide us in the ways that we should go. And that advocate is that sweet, still, small voice that many of us have a hard time hearing because of the noise of our circumstances or the noise of our busyness of our lives. But it is that tugging on your heart when you do something that you really shouldn't do. And I know you guys never do that, but every once in a while I do. It's that tugging on the heart that goes, "You know what, Jim? That's not a good representation of me." And that's when I have to go, "I'm so sorry." And try not to do it again. And each one of you have certain things that you struggle with that are different than the things that I struggle with. And it doesn't mean that we're horrible people. But we need to have that heart of, "Okay, God." Because the advocate in you will instruct you. He will correct you. He will rebuke you. He will train you. Because that's what advocates do. So to know him more, to be able to know him more, God has given us his very Spirit. That is amazing. That is absolutely, when you think about it, is the very power of God that went in and raised Jesus from the dead. The very power that went through the stone, the stone that was rolled across, and breathed life back into his body. That is the very same Spirit that we have as believers. You know what? I kind of need that power. Because Jim on his own can screw things up really, really well. If any of you had known me before the Spirit of God actually lived in me, George did. And I knew George too. And we could tell stories, but we've agreed not to tell stories. But I'll tell you what, Jim, before being born again, was not pretty. Well, he was pretty, but there are just certain things that George and I have said, nope, we were going to keep those under wraps and never bring them out. Because it could get ugly real fast, real fast. But you know what? The Spirit that I received when I first became a believer began to work inside of me, began to work on me. And it took me 10 years. I'm not going to lie. It took me 10 years before I realized, oh, wait a minute, I thought this salvation thing just meant I'm saved and I can do whatever I want. Survey says, and I began to realize, oh, I'm a child of God and now I'm supposed to act like a child of God? When I brought my daughters home from the hospital, they were my daughters. And when I brought them into my household and let them stay, there were certain rules to the house. And I expected them to abide by those rules. Did that mean that they never screwed up? Just ask them. And there will be times that you screw up. When you become a Christian, I got a news flash for you. Not everything becomes real easy. Not everything becomes perfect. In fact, life was easier before I was a Christian because I did whatever I wanted. As long as I didn't get caught, I did whatever I wanted. And then when I became a Christian, it took 10 years, but it was like, oh, I have a Heavenly Father that wants me to represent His family well. But that goes against what Jim wants. And therein lies the struggle. And guess what? You're going to struggle with that for the rest of your life. Until this body is exchanged for another one, you are going to struggle. But it all boils down to it's not being perfect. It's having a heart after God. It's being able to go to Him and say, you know what, Lord, I screwed up. And it's God's response of, you know what, I don't love you anymore and I don't love you any less based on what you do. I still love you. But that puts a responsibility on me to allow the advocate that lives in me to have a strong voice and to be obedient to that voice. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Wisdom, which is the second part of knowledge. You have knowledge first, has to go in here. Wisdom is applying that knowledge to your heart. And then you have, what does it say? Revelation. God will reveal things to you that you have not known previously. When you go into His Word, whenever I open the Bible, I have times when I open the Bible and I'm just studying. I'm just studying for messages. I'm just studying. I'm trying to get information. There are other times that I open the Bible when it's just me and God time. And before I open this Bible, I go, God, whatever it is that you want to reveal to me today, let it be so. And it's incredible because he'll send a verse into my head, Galatians 3, 7. So I'll open it up, and it is uncanny how many times it speaks directly to what I'm going through at that moment. Or I look at it, and I read it, and I go, I don't know what that was for. And then later that day or a couple days later, I get into a situation and that verse pops into my head. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the advocate getting me ready. But we need God's revelation of his word, to open it up to us, to make it come alive. So many people I says, well, how are you as far as getting into the word? Oh, I can't handle it. I can't get past the these and the thous and the whatever. And I say, well, first of all, get rid of the King James Version if you don't. I don't like Shakespeare because I don't talk like that. It drives me nuts. So to sit there and read the King James Version and you have a hard time understanding what it's saying, get a different version. Well, I just can't get past the so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And you know what? It's all recorded for a reason. Some parts of the Bible are very difficult. Try reading Leviticus. You talk about nasty. If you like those ER shows where people show up and their legs are bent backwards and stuff like, and they have to open them up and drain fluids out of every part of their body or whatever, read Leviticus. You'll love it. Otherwise, it's just kind of nasty. But everything is recorded for a reason. Sometimes we don't know what that reason is. Some of this is poetry. I don't like poetry. They call it poetry, but it doesn't rhyme. I'm sorry, that's not poetry. It has to have the rhythm of a limerick and be funny at the end, or I don't like it. But a lot of this is poetry. Songs of Solomon? I call that the sissy book. And I know that's wrong, but a lot of people, they love the sissy book, you know? But it's talking about love and all that stuff. So read it on your own. You can decide for yourselves. But God gives us revelation to his word. And I don't mean to put down God's word, because it is all valuable for teaching and exhorting. And there's just some parts that I don't care for. It's just the way it is. But they are his words. And he has painstakingly made sure that they have been recorded for a reason. So I don't even know why I'm going down this road. So let's just keep going. Ask God for revelation as far as when you read his word. Amen? Amen. Okay. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So we need wisdom, we need understanding, we need revelation, we need insight. And who better to get that from than the person who penned this, who inspired man to write these words down? It says that all scripture is God-breathed. All of it. That means it came from God. He gave it to man to record. They recorded it with their own personality and their own style, but the message is from God. So why not ask him, Lord, what does this mean? I don't understand what this means. And if you have a question about the scriptures, let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. Don't go off to some secret writings or whatever, the Kabbalah or whatever. Ask God. He says, if you ask for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. That's pretty easy. My kids, if they whatever they wanted, they just asked me, I gave it to them. Some of you are really slow. You should have seen that my daughter's face is like, what? All right, so we were looking at knowing more of him and knowing him more. And then we moved into a series on the gospel, which is also included in Seek My Face. So we looked at the gospel, and let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the scriptures, God reveals who he is at his core. All the names of God reveal a part of who he is, a part of his personality. His righteousness, everything good, everything godly, everything that is who he is, and his glory, everything is revealed in the scriptures. You want to grow in your salvation, you cannot do it aside from the scriptures. You cannot do it. Why? Because God reveals himself in his word. I heard so many people who are Christians say, "Well, you know what? My pastor, he doesn't really stress reading the Bible. We just need to live it out. Live in love." You know what my Bible says about those people? You're destroyed by a lack of knowledge. So many Christians are living their lives and not getting the blessings that God has for them because they're living in disobedience to his word. And they don't know it. They have not been taught God's word. So in ignorance, they're living a life short of what God has for them. He says he reveals his righteousness, who he is, his glory, his everything he reveals in the gospel. And the gospel message, which is simply God sent his son to die for us so that we may have eternal life through him and his resurrection. That is the simplicity of the gospel message. And he reveals everything that we need to know about who he is in the scriptures. You ain't in the scriptures, you're missing opportunity for God to reveal himself. That's why I ask, who has their Bibles here today? I want you to get used to opening that puppy. Because it's God's personal words to his kids. It's like me sending a text to my girls, giving them instructions. This is God's text to his kids. And I hope that my daughters, if they see a text from their father, don't just set their phone aside and, "Oh, it's dad again." Don't we do that with the Bible? Isn't that just like, delete? I don't really want to know what dad has to say. He's not very bright anyways. Delete, delete. Do we do that? If we're not in his word, we're doing that. We're missing an opportunity for God to reveal himself to us on a personal level. You want to seek his face? Put your face in his word so that he can reveal his face to us. Amen. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The word righteousness is in the Greek, dikaiosune. And when I study, I like to know what the Greek word is. I like to know in the Old Testament what the Hebrew is. And I start to say it out loud, dikaiosune. So that when I get up here, I don't stumble and bumble, which I usually end up doing anyways. But it was just a little weird sidetrack here. I was studying the word, and I listened to it, and then I start to say it out like, dikaiosune, dikaiosune. And then I thought, that sounds like Jabba the Hutt. Dikaiosune, Han Solo. Yeah, how weird is that? So I just went from God's Word to the Millennium Falcon. I don't know. Weird. But it means the state of him who is as he ought to be. The state of him who is as he ought to be. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and action. Isn't that interesting? That's how we are to be, how we ought to be. When we become Christians, when we become believers, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are no longer seen by God by our own righteousness. He sees Christ's righteousness when he looks at us. We've been washed white as snow. We are no longer guilty. So the righteousness, according to the Greek word, is the state of him as he ought to be. When we become Christians, God sees us how as we ought to be, not how we are in the flesh. What an amazing picture. He sees Christ's righteousness, not our righteousness. It is how we ought to be. It is, what is that again? Integrity. You know, as Christians, we are to have integrity. We are to have virtue. We are to have purity of life. We are to have rightness, rightness with God. We are to have a correctness of thinking. There's where the worldly wisdom and the godly wisdom come in. Correctness. We think correctly. The Bible says we are to have the mind of Christ. That is part of righteousness. And correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. You realize that your actions and your feelings all stem from your head? They do. You get a thought, and then your brain decides what it wants to do with that thought, and it comes out in your feelings and your actions. And some people have messed up thought processes. Some people have been taught the wrong thing for a really long time. And you need to unlearn and relearn a lot of things that the world has been teaching you when you become a child of God. Because that righteousness is the correctness of thinking, feeling, and action. Does it happen automatically? No, it does not. Another news flash. You're not perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to screw up when you become a Christian. You are going to screw up. But you are forgiven, and God sees his righteousness in you. Even when we are still filthy rags, he sees his righteousness. His son's righteousness has been placed on us. That is amazing to me. That is an amazing picture. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. You want to grow. You say you want to grow. You have to have a plan in order to grow. Because if you think that you can just do things same old, and you're going to expect different results in your life, you are fooling yourself. You want to grow spiritually? You need to begin to add these ingredients to your life. Humility. Prayer. Seeking his face. And we'll get to the turning later. Because just to be honest with you, a lot of the churches that I was familiar with early on, there were some great ones that Belinda and I went to. And there were some others that basically, the only thing they were into was behavior modification. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop wearing that. You need to stop looking like that. You need to stop. Don't do this. Don't do that. And if you don't have the humility and the prayer and the seeking God's face, you're wasting your time trying to turn from your wicked ways. You're going to get frustrated. you're going to give up. Those are the people that says, you know what, I tried Jesus. I tried Jesus. It didn't stick. I got baptized. I did this. I did that. You know, it was just a phase. I got frustrated, got burned out. You know, you get frustrated and you get burned out from the things that we do. We should never get frustrated or burned out from being a child of God. I've never had my daughters come to me and go, you know, Dad, kind of getting burned out of being an Olsen. You know, I tried it for a while. It's just not working. I'm going to go where the wind blows. We don't do that with him. When we seek his face, when we humble ourselves first, and we pray and we seek his face, he reveals who he is to us. And he becomes all the more real. And then when you've got that down, then we'll work on the turn part. Because I can sit up here and tell you what the Bible says about sanctification, turning from your wicked ways, the things you should or should not do, the things you should add to your faith, these things. And I could show you a million scriptures that say these are the things you are to do and the things you are not to do. But if you don't know him on a personal basis, I'm wasting my time and you're wasting your time. So by spiritual growth, we need to make first things first. The Bible says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's where it starts. You can't skip that one and go right to prayer. First of all, you don't pray to someone you don't know with all your heart. You pray to the one you know. And that is the first step of growing up in your salvation. Work on the ingredients. Some of you are in the first part. And you know what? We all start there. Some are on the second part. You know, I'm having a real hard time with prayer. Don't quite understand. And if you have a Catholic background like I do, I had a hard time with prayer. Because I was taught that all you had to do was say certain words and you're done. And then all of a sudden I become a Christian and it's like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's like, no. If I said the same thing to my wife every time I saw her, and it's the only thing I ever said to her, Hail Belinda, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Belinda, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death, amen. And then I left. What kind of relationship is that? Next time I show up, Hail Belinda, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit. That's not a relationship. Now there is beauty in the Our Father. That's given to us by Jesus. But it wasn't given to us as a ritual of words to say. It was given to us as a model of how we are to approach our Heavenly Father, how we are to engage in prayer with Him. So it's about personal relationship. It's what it boils down to. And if you don't have that, don't try the prayer thing. Don't try the seeking him. Don't try the turning. You can get the first things first. Love God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Start there. Amen? Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Because in your word, you have revealed who you really are. And you've revealed who we are in you. Lord, I pray that we would have a hunger to seek your face. That we would add to our knowledge wisdom and understanding and insight and revelation as to who you really are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time that we can share. we can get together and we can study your word. And I pray that it would go past our minds into our hearts, that it may instruct us in how we are to live our lives as your children. We thank you and we ask that your spirit would go with us. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.